Welcome to the Transit Insight Podcast, where three transit industry professionals gather to talk about mass transit. Each of us brings a unique perspective, from planning to operations and even the CEO. I'm Jim McAteer, along with Paul Ballard and Edward Johnson. We hope you enjoy the show.
Well, let's go ahead and get started. We have a special guest on the show who has been on the show before. We've got Mark Cleveland with the Hitch Rewards app. He is the CEO, co-founder, and chief cheerleader over at Hitch and or Hitch Rewards. And Mark, why don't you tell us a little about yourself and then a little bit about what the Hitch app is. And of course, we'll be diving in and having lots of questions. I think for our listeners, real quick, I should give them a heads up that the Hitch Rewards program that you have now is different than Hitch when we talked to you about 18 months ago.
That's because everything is constantly evolving in this world, right, Jim?
That's just, yes, of course, of course.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you and Paul and Edward. I'm standing here in Nashville, the most creative little city in the world, and we are inventing new ways to accelerate the use of shared mobility solutions in urban areas and surrounding regions by providing incentives through the Hitch Rewards platform for people who make the ride, the decision to share a ride. And we're mode agnostic, so we're happy if you're on the bus or in a car share or a van pool. And we basically make the community have an incentive to come together, track, and submit their ride data. And then they get environmental benefit from that, because that's the world's largest carbon offset project that you can participate in, one shared ride at a time. So just imagine every time you share a ride using the Hitch platform to track it, you're planting a tree and you're getting rewarded for what you're already doing, what you should be doing more of. And then we actually pay cash rewards to people who make increasingly smarter mobility decisions. And that's the big game and the fun thing that we're involved in. We're gamifying and energizing the shared community.
Great. Now, maybe you want to talk a bit more about how you all are doing that.
Well, we have an app that you can download from the Apple Store or the Google Droid facilities, and it's free. And you can invite somebody that you know, a friend or a neighbor or a coworker, to share a ride anywhere in the United States. It's functioning. And our platform keeps track of that. And you get a personal dashboard that tells you how many trees you've saved, how many miles you've driven, how much cash you might have earned in a sponsored area. Employers are contributing information and sponsorship to the platform because they want to see their team self-organizing for more and a more effective mobility decisions, shared ride commute decisions. So we basically channel state and federal and grant and sponsorship money, employer money, regional events that participate. We channel those reward dollars that are available and flush them out 20 cents at a share to the driver, to the passenger, to the extra passenger, based on our rules engine that we built. So we can talk about that because it's a lot of fun. There's this giant rules engine in the sky called Hitch Rewards. And every time you share a ride and do something that makes sense and cuts congestion and cleans the air while you're at it, those are the behaviors we're trying to reward. And it only comes into play when you actually do exactly what that rule suggested you needed to do.
So the basic premise is, and it helped me yesterday to download the app while we were talking. So download the app, you invite somebody for a ride, say I pick you up, then together we drive somewhere, and the app is effectively running that whole time. It knows that we're together, it knows that when we get together, kind of calculates those miles, and then when we end the trip, that's sort of an example of use, correct?
There you go. That becomes a part of your shared ride log.
Right, right. And sort of like an electric vehicle that had on the dashboard trees, it would like calculate how many trees that you were earning the longer you drove. You sort of get the same thing with your app as well, right, in terms of the carbon offset.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it goes wherever your mobile phone and yourself and your friends go.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I wanted, before we get too far into the details and the technology portion of this, I think we want to ask Mark, how did you come about this idea? And because one of the things that we recognize is that our world is changing now. In the past, we've waited on these big Goliath-type organizations to give us a product that we can start to use. But now you're seeing more of smaller agencies, a few-person member team that have a bright idea. They're able to build around that concept and launch it and put it into reality. So I think it'll be interesting for our listeners to hear what sparked this for Mark and his co-founder.
Well, thank you for the question, because it's a little bit PTSD, you know, through all this trouble that I've had in trying to figure out what the right answer is. We've learned a ton, and we're also people that just don't quit. We have a great mission, and we have a great vision, and we want there to be a world where everyone is rewarded for their shared mobility decisions when they reduce their carbon footprint. So the way that we got started was we actually did exactly what Waze Carpool is doing now. We did that in 2015. That's the Hitch app that you mentioned earlier, Jim. And we created this swipe right if you want to share a ride and swipe left if you don't want to share a ride with this person. And we tried to match up their routes, and we got quite a few users, and we capped the income at 53 cents a mile, just like it's exactly like Waze Carpool. And I wish them all the best luck in the world, because they're tackling a great problem. But what we learned was in the process that people, once they match, kind of like Tinder, once you meet the girl of your dreams, you pretty much better delete Tinder, right? So once people matched up on our platform, then they just disappeared. They had personal relationships with those people, and then they just stopped contributing. Even when there was some incentive involved, they just stopped tracking themselves. They stopped participating. So the data disappears, and you don't know whether they are continuing to share rides, or how are you measuring something you can't measure. And we decided that the real genius was giving up on the idea that we have to solve the problem, that people need to be introduced to people in order to share rides. That's actually not the case. The fact of the matter is, if I pay you $1 a mile, if you've got somebody in your car, you'll go find that person. And if I pay that person 50 cents a mile, they're going to go find you. And people are a lot better networkers than people think. So we made a decision that our platform would only be two people or more sharing a ride. We're not trying to reward one person who gets on a, you know, bird scooter and tootles around in the last, you know, half mile of the sidewalks that are available to them. What we're talking about is the number one problem in our society, which is single occupancy vehicles emitting tons and tons of you know, world destroying particulate matter and ozone degenerate and carbon oriented exhaust. And we're basically saying, look, that's the problem. It's not bicycles. It's not walking. You know, that's great. Go focus on that. We're going to focus exclusively on emissions mobility. And then we're going to reward people for coming together to share that. And we're going to pay them enough money that they will make that decision every time, increasingly, perhaps even smarter mobility decisions, like taking a train or doing something that has a lower carbon footprint. Either way, we're celebrating two or more people together. And the idea came to us because we were recognizing that we did a lot of carpooling ourselves, and we just didn't track it. We didn't actually need to be introduced to anybody, because we're darn good networkers, we humans. And we make decisions about who we want to be in a car with in 10 seconds flat, maybe quicker. So trying to solve the matching problem, there's so many ways you can match up on Facebook and on different state-run programs. So matching up was not the problem. Incentivizing people to stay engaged so that we can measure and incentivize future smarter mobility decisions was the pivot that we made. And we're really, really excited, because we got 7.5 million miles in 1 year. And pretty quick, that's some really important data and insights that we anonymize it. We don't share anybody's personal data. You know, we actually pay people to share rides. So they're our partners in acquiring that mobility insight that follows. And the only people who get to see it are people who pay you to do it. So it's a closed system. It's only available to people who are sponsoring the smarter mobility decision. And And in the act of sponsoring us, we share over half the revenue with the person who's sharing the ride. So we think the model is great for data privacy. We think the model is great for engagement. And we think the model is great for universally sharing data, where Uber and Lyft and a lot of other organizations out there are having some form of combat with most decision makers in this space because they don't want to share the data. And in fact, that's what we do want to do. We want to share it and enable people to participate in being rewarded when they do it.
That was very helpful. That was a good question, Edward. Mark, can you just briefly share with us the source of the revenue that then gets distributed?
Yeah, it comes from federal, state, and local grants. It comes from the data budget of your nearby mass transit authority, because they'd like to have more data and have a tough time getting it except through surveys. It also comes from organizations like MPOs and people that want to do surveys. I know that there's survey requirements for most of the federal agencies and service providers for van pools and things like that. And we're able to do survey work live, real time. And we know for sure that they're moving or have just moved or are about to move. And we know something about the patterns of the user community. We've got over 10,000 users in Nashville alone.
That's impressive.
That has been a place where we're learning a ton about how people move. So the money comes from sponsors. It comes from Nissan. It comes from Sprint. It comes from banking communities that want to be a part of solving their congestion issues. And so it can also come from really successful companies, big companies that have great transportation demand management systems in place. And maybe they're in Palo Alto or they're in San Francisco and they have some really onerous penalties if they don't manage their trips, or in Seattle where they've got Trip Reduction Act. And when you look at those specific markets and their needs, some of these great companies have done everything they can to manage to a minimum the single occupancy trips to their facilities. And they really have a tough time, and they actually can't without Hitch Rewards. They can't really provide incentives to people who are coming to their facilities who are vendors or who are contractors. They're not employees. They're not a part of their program. And through the Hitch Rewards platform, we create rules that make it possible for you to identify a geography that you want to improve mobility in. Like maybe it's a transit desert and you want to provide incentives to people who have cars in that area to scare up more shared ride capability and capacity. So you provide an incentive in that area. And every time someone drives out of that area in the morning, maybe it's a socioeconomically depressed area, maybe it's a transit desert, maybe it's an equity zone, maybe they're impacted by construction. But the point being, you can set up a zone and you can have an origination rule that says anybody that comes out of here between 6 a.m. and 8 a.m., they're commuters, they're commuting to work. We know that, so they get an extra reward. Same thing on their way home. So that would be an example of a rule that some entity can sponsor and that can pay only when that behavior is exactly satisfied. Okay. Therefore, it's activity-based costing. And lots of people in the advertising world, lots of people in the behavioral economics world, they all want to see activity-based cost and costs that only incurred when you get exactly what you want. And that's what we do.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think for me, it was real helpful also, Mark, when you kind of walk through. So you're the people that you're marketing this program to, it's not just the users like us or anybody who's, you know, using transportation. It's also, like you said, the cities, the MPOs, the transit agencies, because you can kind of walk them through the capabilities of your rules engine. And as an example, like a state highway department or something, you know, you could incentivize travel on certain roads when you have construction or you have issues on particular highways. You could, in a way, incentivize travel not on that highway by, you know, incentivizing it on another. Does that make sense?
Sure. We have a what we would call a corridor rule, and I can lay out that corridor and say there are no rewards on this corridor, or there are rewards on this corridor. Both of those are rules, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're on this corridor for 14 exits, let's say you got on at a distant region and you're headed into downtown and there's HOV there or there isn't HOV there, but you have brought three people in your car, commuted with you all the way downtown for 14 exits. That distance of three cars not being on those lanes, no matter what kind of lanes, that distance is really valuable because there's 13 exits that you passed with three fewer cars, right? You could decide that you want to have the longer the commute, the greater the reward. Or you could say a minimum commute size. So these rules are anything you can imagine. It has to only be applicable to our mass transit system, or it has to only be applicable to the Music City Star. We do trip segment calculations, and we'll pay you a reward on the Music City Star and then a separate reward if you share an Uber or a Lyft. There's two of you in the back of an Uber going to work. That's actually hitching. Or you're one of five people in a hitch on the regional bus system. And we've had as many as 22 people in a single hitch. That's telling you that people on the train and people in these buses that have long commutes, they have networked together using Hitch's mobility platform, and they're sending each other invitations, and they're accepting invitations, and they're joining the halo that's running down the street here with us. Imagine a big halo around those two people or around those seven people in a van. And as long as they're together and moving, whatever rules apply, wherever they go and wherever they start and wherever they end, those rules define whatever their cash rewards might be. And sponsors are super excited about just highly targeted, highly direct rules opportunities that they can define.
So, and on those rules, who's responsible for letting the users know? You know what I mean? Is it up to the sponsor to identify their users and let them know what the rules are? You know, if you have a corridor or transit system or whatever it is that you're focusing on?
Well, we need marketing support from participants. We need marketing support from, and we get it from WeGo Public Transit, for example, here in Nashville. We are able to put our people at their terminals and educate people on the bus. And we believe ultimately that the greatest evangelists for smarter shared mobility decisions, if we all agree that sharing is smarter than driving alone, once you agree to that, then the people who are already doing it are fantastic evangelists. And so our strategy is we're going to go reward people who are doing the right thing. We're going to teach them how to do it easily and simply and keep track of it and get paid for it. And then those people are going to turn to the, you know, passenger on their left and say, "Yo, dude, are you hitching? You got to download this thing." It spreads virally. It spreads inside the community of shared commuters. And then from there, they reach out into their networks much more efficiently than any of us could advertise into the wide world of, you know, moving humanity. These people who are actually sharing rides are evangelists for the bus, for the payment system, for the train, for mobility, and they go get two or three or more of their friends, and they bring them in, and those people go get three or four or more of their friends, and it's we're growing at like 8% a month without advertising. So I actually think that we can build the world's largest platform of shared ride insights and community, and that those communities that want us to come there have to help us get started. But we're customers will take us to where we're going to be.
Okay. Yeah. Curious.
Right. Man, I could really see you just jumping into that Texas Transportation Institute document that talks about communities that are heavily congested and how many hours, and which translate into dollars that are spent in commuting from day to day in those worst commuting communities, and just starting along those corridors where they are just slammed, and the communities, and it pretty much just locks down the community for maybe an hour in the morning, a couple hours in the evening. And this seems to be just a wonderful product that could really help those communities out. And you start at a corridor basis and then let it grow throughout the community.
Absolutely. We have recently signed the city of Brentwood and the city of Franklin was our second city. And between them, they've got maybe 800 employees, and they're living in an area, both of these cities in middle Tennessee, don't have ideal mass transit options. And so they're providing an incentive. It started in Franklin here at 15 cents a mile. So their employees get paid 15 cents a mile, and they pay whoever is in that hitch with that person a couple of cents a mile as well, so that the employee is just this screaming evangelist for, I need to get a ride to work, because 15 cents a mile is more than it cost me for gas. And I'm going to find a husband, neighbor, friend, or a coworker next door. I'm going to go do that networking, and I'm going to bring people to work, to our place of work, in fewer cars. And they get bonuses for doing this behavior. So it's fascinating to me, because I believe that people communicate. I believe people network. I believe people want to save the planet. I believe people don't want to be in their car alone driving forever. Now, there's some people that just, really need to be alone in their car, and that's cool. I get it. But people want to solve this problem, and the only way we're going to solve this problem is probably not by putting light rail in every community, or a bus in every community, or even a micro transit service in every community, but maybe vans, as you get down to the final ultimate problem, it's both the problem and the opportunity. The problem is single occupancy vehicles. That is the largest unused capacity anywhere in our transit system. It dwarfs every other definition of capacity. And we just need to give people incentives to go market and leverage and use that capacity that is theirs. We also pay the passenger, because you always have a single occupant vehicle until you get a passenger. So the passenger is really, really, really important. The passenger is valuable. They decided to leave their car behind, and they decided to give up their death grip on the steering wheel. So they deserve to be rewarded as well. And that's, once you cross over into that line of thinking, everything seems so much simpler, which, back to, Edward's original question, how did you come up with this idea? I came up with this idea because I was running against the strengths of humanity, trying to deploy technology to make humans more efficient at what we do so well. Mm-hmm. And I just, once you give it up and go, what do people do well? People actually do share better than we think. They network better than we think. And let's just enable them and reward them for doing more of it.
Right. Sure. And Mark, those two communities you mentioned, Franklin and Brentwood, if I'm remembering correctly, those are communities with pretty high housing costs. And so that would be pretty enlightened by the city administrations to make this program available to their employees, because so many of their employees really can't afford to live in the cities where they work. And so they have to commute from someplace else.
Yeah, 60% of all the jobs that are filled in Williamson County, which is the county in where Brentwood and Franklin are located, immediately south of Davidson County here in Nashville, but 60% of all the jobs in the county are filled by someone who came outside the county. And so you're right. The service industry, the hotel industry, the students, I mean, there's 114,000 students in Nashville, and they, they commute and they have lots of different mobility, sure, needs. So it's really interesting to see how a city could be enlightened, like you mentioned, and find an incentive-based solution.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had another question for you. Back door behind you, you have a reference to air quality. And what we have seen over the past few years, the organization that's based out of Minnesota, Railvolution, they have been really focusing on tying health into transportation. Have you really put a lot of focus and attention on how your program helps to improve health?
On our advisory board, we have Governor Martin O'Malley, was a mayor of Baltimore and governor of Maryland, who's really wrestled with these environmental, mm-hmm, and air quality issues as a leader. We also have a gentleman named Chuck Kilo, who comes to us from Oregon and is part of the Oregon Health Sciences University program there as a chief. He's our chief medical officer here, and he's helping us connect these issues. I think that a safe community is important. I think a healthy quality of air is important. And I think that we all have to contribute to to that. And lower stress levels from traffic congestion just increases people's stress. It makes you late to work, makes you late to home. It's everybody doing the same thing at exactly the same time, because we got plenty of capacity at 2 a.m., but there's not a whole lot of capacity at 7 a.m., right? So it's just the nature of how we're structured, and we create stress. We are trying to connect emissions and air quality to the decision to share a ride. And we're also working with some extremely forward-thinking leaders in different states who are looking at paying as a part of the hitch reward on ozone alert days or spare the air days, whatever it is that you call it in your community. Those air quality alerts are announced by fax machine. You know, they're communicated, hey, older people and children, stay inside or share a ride because it's dangerous to get outside and go to work today. Well, air quality alerts should be a source of a $4 or $5 bonus to everybody who's hitching on a day when the air quality alert happens. So we're all about surprise and delight. Back to your earlier question where you said, how do you tell people? We allow our people to tell people, and they start making 20 or 30 bucks a month per person, and they start seeing how they get rewarded in Saturday and Monday and Friday at peak commute times. They get rewarded differently. We don't try to communicate to you what all the rewards are. We just let you do what you're going to do, and then there's probably some rewards involved because we have community sponsors all over the place. And that my point then is, what happens on the day that it's a spare the air day? I still got to go to work. I'm sharing a ride, and bang, I get an extra $2. And so does the person sitting next to me, because we are sharing a ride real time on that day, and it's trackable, rewardable, identifiable, and it's quantifiable. It's valuable. So we take some of those air quality alert dollars that are being spent to try to address air quality, and we put them in the hands of the people who are sharing rides, who are in fact addressing air quality while they're at it.
That's great. That's real good. Believe it or not, we're already at 25 minutes, so we could just a few minutes over if Paul and Edward have a few more minutes. So you want to talk about some of the big, any, you know, announcements it sounds like you might have coming up? And before you get to that, maybe give us an idea of an existing, you know, existing sponsor and hitch reward member relationship.
Yeah, I feel like Nissan has been our greatest sponsor, Nissan and Sprint. They have been from the very beginning of the app's development through the beta process, you know, when we were trying to prove and develop our technology. You know, we have a patent pending on our ability to do occupancy verification in mass transit or in the car. And so developing our technology and relationships with the user community was sponsored and paid for in part by our sponsors. And so I'd say that Nissan has done the most. And people will say, well, why is Nissan sponsoring you? Because they're trying to sell more cars. And I will tell them, well, they're just trying to sell fewer Hondas. And right. So they want to sell, and we want them to. They want to sell a newer car that emits less. They want to make your car an enjoyable ride. If you're going to be stuck in traffic, or if you're going to share your car, you might as well have a nice one. And so they are in this relationship with our user communities, rewarding them 50 cents a day, every single day when they share a ride on mass transit. They're doing really forward thinking mobility solutions. They're bringing those kinds of forward thinking mobility solutions, decision making to their advertising budget. And, you know, they're spending advertising dollars to communicate to this network, but they're doing it in a way that the dollars go to the people who are actually doing something for them, and they're developing a relationship in the process. Some things that are exciting that we're doing, the Nashville Chamber has just agreed to take on an important role here with Hitch and be a convener and really support and embrace the technology and using the proofs of what we've done independently here as a startup. We won the Startup Sustainability Company of the Year Award here in Nashville. We won the Emerging Company of the Year Award from the Nashville Technology Council. So what's happening is that we're charting this course to a public-private partnership that brings everybody's interests to the table at the same time and says, hey, you know, there really is a solution, and it isn't very expensive. We've spent, for example, $200,000 in cash in 2018. rewarding people who shared rides in the Nashville marketplace. We have a pretty loyal user community, and they're answering survey questions for us and keeping us informed as decision makers. And I think that's a reason that we'll have more leadership in Nashville come to our public-private partnership, and it'll spread. And that same model is actually gotten some amazing traction in the Bay Area. So I'll let you be the first to hear officially that the Bay Area Council, which is the organization that created and funded BART, and their members built it. So they're forward thinkers, extraordinarily forward thinkers. And they have some.
And BART, for our listeners, is Bay Area Rapid Transit?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And they have, you know, major Kaiser and Comcast and AT&T and major technology companies are members of the Bay Area Council. And they've decided that they can't wait for infrastructure anymore. 46% of the people surveyed in the Bay Area are planning to leave, citing congestion and cost of housing as two of the top reasons that they might leave that community. And that's an untenable situation for employers, for Apple, for people who are deeply invested in that community. Even if you had all of your employees and all of your transportation demand management strategies nicely buttoned up and in perfect execution, you still are in the middle of a massive community called San Jose or Palo Alto or, you know, or the Bay Area. We need to have a collective thinking brought to this solution. And the collective thinking that we're going to do at the Bay Area is we're going to launch the largest carbon offset project in the history of the state. Everybody's going to be able to participate. Everybody's going to have a carbon zero ride when they share a mile. And then ultimately, commuters will experience cash rewards. Our budget is multiple millions of dollars. So what we did in Nashville with $200,000 in cash, we're going to do something on a massive scale in the Bay Area, followed closely by Seattle, where our partnerships have already evolved and have been signed. And I expect you'll see announcements from us about several different states that have gotten behind the incentive revolution and different cities that are green in their orientation. Denver comes to mind, Portland, Oregon comes to mind. And that doesn't mean that Nashville's not green or that we shouldn't be in Atlanta. I'm just telling you where some of our early adopters, the people who are absolutely at their wit's end over traffic, they're saying, we must do something different. This is the most trackable, most obvious, most fits into humanity's motivation structure solution for transportation demand that exists. We pay people to make smarter decisions. You are going to be successful with that strategy. And we have municipalities and transit districts and air quality districts joining in this movement, I think, to a public-private partnership that gets everybody's interests aligned, big and small, you know, mass transit, personal transit. And heck, if you're going to walk and do, if you're going to walk to work or take a bike or be a telecommuter and work from home, God bless you. That's awesome. Do more of that. In the meantime, we're out here doing battle, try to take, you know, the drive alone culture and put a passenger in that vehicle.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Well, it seems like one thing additional you should just mention is, you know, what are some of the benefits to the sponsors of becoming a sponsor besides having a positive impact on the environment and transportation resources and things like that?
Well, a couple things. Data privacy is really important to people. It's getting increasingly important. People want to be paid for their data, or they don't want to, you know, have you make money on their data. So the first thing is, you know, we are paying our members and our participants to participate voluntarily. Then municipals or sponsors can advertise and communicate and educate and activate this group of mobile shared commuters. So they get the benefit of being able to sell cars or sell phones or sell their product.
By advertising.
You know, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Right. Okay. Yes.
And then I guess finally, they get the opportunity to track their sustainability initiatives throughout the whole organization. We had one small company join us today, 65 employees, 12 or 13 employees all coming to the same place, but the rest of them are spread out across the United States, and they don't have a sustainability initiative. They don't have a single organizing principle that 100% of their people can participate in. no matter where they go live or work. And Hitch is perfect for that because every time they share a ride, it counts towards a goal. They want to get 10 tons of carbon, off their ledger of their company. They want to be green, and they want to provide a really simple and easy tool for people to participate. So they're activating 65 people who have friends, family, and neighbors and coworkers, and they may be mobile on Saturday in a shared ride or on Monday in a shared ride, and all of those shared rides count towards the goal that the company set to be a more responsible environmental player in today's world. So there are green reasons to do it. There are cash reasons to do it. There are growing your business reasons to do it. And there's also growing capacity in mass transit. Where there's less capacity, we should be doing more to build ridership. And where there's a lot of capacity, we should be doing more to move the volume to shoulder periods and to try to just help those successful transit authorities like BART, where they're at what they call crush load today, helping them allocate, rebalance, and move those commuters with a voluntary incentive program that tracks and rewards them for doing that into the shoulder periods. Those would be several examples of what's in it for you.
Yeah, great. Very good. Very good.
Well, Jim, I have one other question. Mark, where do we buy that energy and enthusiasm that you have bottled up in you? Let me know where I can get some of that.
Well, behind me, you can see my University of Oregon emblem. And I grew up in Eugene, Oregon, which means I legit hug trees. And I feel energized by this movement. And I also, I can't bottle it. I can't share it, but I can tell you that the people working here have brought to Hitch their passion to change the world, their passion for the next six generations of their children to be able to breathe. Once you translate the great work you do in mass transit, the community services that, Paul, you do in your community in Dallas by providing infrastructure that helps people be more economically successful and be more mobile, you're doing such great work, and you're not getting enough credit for it. People who share rides are doing such important work, and they're getting no credit for it. As a matter of fact, some people would say, gosh, I can't believe you're paying people who are already sharing rides. We only want to pay people who don't share rides today, and we want them to start sharing rides tomorrow. And I look at them and I go, well, how many children do you have? You got three kids? Let's just run through this. You got two daughters and one son. Your one son is an angel. Your other daughter is an angel. They're just good kids. They do everything you want them to do, and they're already doing it. And isn't that great? So don't give them any Christmas presents, and don't give them any rewards, because they're already doing what you want them to do. But this devil child over here, this devil child you have, bless her heart, as they say in the South, she's just not going to do what the good kids do because she's doing something on her own. But I'm going to reward her whenever she does something good. Tell me how fast your cohesiveness in your family is going to fall apart. So we cannot focus on rewarding people who are doing the wrong thing today versus this goal. We start with everybody that's doing the right thing, and we reward the daylights out of them. And then they go get your devil child and teach them, how to be a part of this community. It's a community that your bus drivers and your train systems and your transit planners and the people like you and your listeners who are working together to try to solve this problem that, is just frustrated most of you throughout your entire career. Hey, there is a new path. And these millennials working in my office and the Generation X's and the Generation, I don't know what they're called now, they come to this job and to this mission with that kind of passion. And I love leading them. And it comes from them to me, to you. And bless you all for the work you're doing to try to save this planet.
Well, thank you.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Mark. That was good. Okay, that'll do it for the podcast today. Thank you very much for listening. If you are enjoying the show, please help us spread the word by telling your friends and coworkers. In addition, we would love it if you would leave us a rating at iTunes or on the podcast app of your choice. For more information about Paul, Edward, and me, you can find that at our podcast website, transit-insight.com, and click on the podcast link. There you will also find a form where you can contact us and send us your comments. If you have a question you'd like to ask, we'd also like to work that into the show. So go ahead and check it out. Lastly, I'd like to thank the folks at bensound.com who have provided us with our theme music. Hope you're enjoying the show, and we'll see you around on the bus.